So we've been starting this habit of starting the talk with homage to the Buddha, which is a phrase starting with Namo Tassa, and that means homage to the Buddha, the perfectly enlightened one. It's to bring in a little bit of chanting into our evening. So if you know it, then please chime in, because my voice is not the greatest. And if you don't, you can just listen and see if you can pick it up. We're going to say it three times. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. So today I'd like to talk about the topic of old age, sickness and death. And that's a topic that's kind of up for me right now. Some of you might know my father just passed away. That's why and it's not exactly why I was in the Netherlands. I was hoping to help him get better, but that didn't work out. He appeared to be at the end of his life, so supported him in that trajectory. In Buddhism, old age, sickness, and death are being called the heavenly messengers, and that is for a good reason, actually. Because the teaching on old age, sickness, and death helps us to see the impermanence and changeability of our lives. And the Buddha emphasized these teachings to help us to get motivated to practice diligently, because we could basically die any moment, can get sick any moment. So we better practice now so that we can attain liberation, awakening, as soon as possible, hopefully before we pass away. So these teachings are not only for people who experience old age or sickness or are in a dying process. They are for everyone, young and old, sick and healthy. Everyone can benefit from these teachings. And when we are confronted with these aspects in life, then it could be in ourselves or in others that we care about. Then sometimes we respond with just kind of sinking away in despair or misery, or we fear avoiding or denying what is happening. But the Buddha actually encouraged us to overcome these initial responses and to look at these aspects of life as an opportunity to see the teaching in it, to see how they can benefit us. And we can see that old age, sickness, and death can be potentially liberating teachers. And that is going against our Western conditioning, because we are, taught that sickness is some kind of fault, that we're, it's our fault if we get sick and we're not doing it right, or that death is some sort of like mistake almost. And the people shouldn't have died. How often do people not say like, oh, this person shouldn't have died, or they were too young, or... And I can totally get that, because my father was like 70 years old, so I thought that was not super young, but not also really old. Like, some people live until their 80s or 90s, and it would have been nice to have him around that long, that much longer. But that's not the case, and life is just, bringing us what it's bringing us, so... And it's interesting, because in Buddhist countries, the attitude towards this topic is really different. For example, in Thailand, they start Dharma talks with the phrase brothers and sisters in old age, sickness and death. So in every talk, this whole subject is kind of present. And we're kind of connected to this topic because we're all in this same kind of boat, this old age, sickness and boat, old age, sickness and death boat together. We all have, you know, we're all gonna experience that if we're at least the old part, if we're lucky enough to get old. So old age, sickness and death are an integral part of our lives, as the Buddha teaches us. And there's a story in the commentaries about a woman, Kisa Gotami. And the story goes that her son died at some point, and she was like overtaken by grief, and she basically denied that her son had died. And she was just, you know, this, her son was in her arms, lifeless, and she was just running around desperate and asking everyone if they could please help her. And no one could. And at some point she encountered the Buddha and she asked the Buddha, can you help me make my son better? And he said, yes, I can help you. If you find a mustard seed from a house where no one has died, if you bring me that mustard seed, then I can heal your son. And mustard seed was kind of a staple item in household back then in India. So every household that she knocked on the door had a mustard seed for her. But there was no household that no one had died in. So she came back to the Buddha and she basically had understood like, oh right, that is part of life. And my son actually has died. And it was a real insight to her to hear all these people tell about the deaths that they had experienced. And the Buddhist teacher Frank Ostaszewski says, we cannot be truly alive without maintaining an awareness of death. That is not waiting for us at the end of a long road. Death's always with us, in the marrow of every passing moment. She is the secret teacher hiding in plain sight. She helps us to discover what matters most. And the good news is that we don't have to wait until the end of our lives to realize the wisdom that death has to offer. End quote. And this quote contains a lot of Buddhist wisdom. Frank Ostaszewski mentions that death is always with us in a mirror of each moment. And, you know, we can die at any moment through something in the body not working well, maybe get a heart attack or an aneurysm, or maybe we get into some accident or whatever happens. And in this way, death is a teacher hiding in plain sight. And most of us don't really pay much attention in a day-to-day situation to this teacher. Now we often intentionally or unintentionally ignore this teacher. It's very easy to just live our lives and not think about it at all and just, you know, ignore it basically. Might think that it's still far away, that we get sick or that we get old or that we die. But the Buddha actually encourages us to face it more, to prepare ourselves for the moment that we do get old or get sick or even die. And when we reflect on these heavenly messages, we might start to realize what matters most to us. And when my father was terminally ill and we knew he was not going to live very long, I started to see how all these things, you know, we plan for the future, how futile they are when you know that you're gonna die. You know, he spent so much time planning, like, maybe I want a new kitchen and maybe I want to do some yard work and all that kind of thing. And when we were there in the last week and a half of his life, certain things started to break. Ironically, like lamps started to break and the shower started to leak. And we decided not to fix any of it because he wasn't going to live there any longer. So, you know, you get a whole different perspective on stuff and on planning and on, yeah, that kind of thing. Of course, in our normal life, we do have to fix the lamp and the shower. But there might be other things that we plan or that we get obsessed about or that we feel like we have to do. Well, it might not be so necessary. Like my neighbor, she's obsessively trying to get all the leaves out of her yard. And then I look at that and I think like, well, maybe you don't have to be that perfectionistic about that. Some leaves might be okay. So just letting things sometimes just be can help us just let go of these attachments that we have to certain things in our lives. It's cravings and becomings, is called in the suttas. And so these teachings are not meant to depress us. Might look like that, but it's not the intention of the Buddha. If they do, then please, you know, don't spend too much attention to it. Don't spend too much time with these teachings because it's really not meant to depress. It's really meant to energize us, to get us into action. Because the Buddha taught us that if we do reflect on these aspects of life, that we will start to see how fragile life is and that we can better not wait with practicing these teachings. That is basically what he wants us to get to by looking at these teachings. And it's not only that it can motivate us to attain liberation, to end this cycle of samsara, as they call it, a cycle of birth and death, this endless, seemingly endless cycle. It can also help us to see that this moment is precious, that that the only moment we have is this moment, because the next moment could be not existing, not or gone, or. And then that can help us to not get so caught up in all the busyness of life and live a more deliberate life, more present life. An interesting exercise is to breathe while contemplating that this is going to be your last breath. Maybe we can try that out right now. Maybe we can sit and close our eyes and follow your in and out breath for a little bit. And then at the next breath, contemplate that this is your last in and out breath. And at the next breath, do this again. This is your last in and out breath. And then notice the effect of this. Do you experience your breath more intensely? Are you more present? Whenever you're ready, you can open your eyes again. And again, if this kind of contemplation is more depressing or difficult than it is kind of motivating you, then you can just set it aside. Maybe in a later stage of your life, you're more up for it. You know, you can try it out every once in a while, see how it feels, and decide if you want to take it on or not. And I see it's already 8:40-ish. I had prepared another contemplation that the Buddha offers. I'll just briefly mention it and I won't go into it, but there's another contemplation in the suttas. It's called the Five Daily Recollection. in the Anguttara Nikaya. And it goes like this. Practitioners, here are these five themes that should often be reflected upon by a woman or a man, by a householder or one gone forth. What five? I am subject to old age. I am not exempt from old age. I am subject to illness. I am not exempt from illness. I am subject to death. I am not exempt from death. I must be parted and separated from everyone and everything dear and agreeable to me. And the last one. I am the owner of my karma. Karma can also mean actions. The heir of my karma. I have karma as my origin. Karma as my relative. Karma as my resort. I will be the heir of whatever karma, good or bad, that I do. This is a reflection that monastics daily reflect on. It can be a very powerful reflection to do on a regular basis, as the Buddha encourages us to do.